Ayers family, God is doing incredible things.
Yes, he is.
We're in a brand new year. It's a year of kingdom expansion, the expansion of the kingdom. And I believe that we're going to hear more and more and more and more about that. This morning, I want to continue with a teaching that the Lord led us into. My plan was to do some teaching in the area of what I'm calling kingdom economics, principles of the kingdom, around how the kingdom functions financially, how we prosper as a result of walking out the word. And so I want to continue with that. And I want to finish talking a little bit about the principle that's been in place all along in the kingdom, but introduced for you and that the church would walk out an incredible place of abundance and resources to accomplish God's will in the earth. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for this season that you've led us into. Thank you, team. Father, I want to thank you for this season that you've led us into. I want to thank you how that you have blessed us, how you've brought us into this year, and how that you're already taking us into new places as you are expanding your kingdom. Father, we thank you that that expansion is taking place on the inside of us as well as on the outside being manifested in us and through us. So I pray now that you would cause your word to come alive, speak fresh through your word, that it would be bring revelation and life to all of us in this season as we desire to walk in all that you've made available to us. We want to thank you for your faithfulness to your word, your faithfulness to your people. We are your people. In Jesus' name, would you say amen?
Amen.
So whatever you use to read passages of scripture, I want to start in Matthew chapter 6, and I'm going to read what might seem like a lengthy section, but it's going to lay foundation, I believe, for what I want to talk about over the next few moments. So if you're whatever you're using, if you've got an actual Bible or iPad or phone or whatever you use, I'm starting at Matthew 6, verse 19. I'm reading from the New American Standard Version. So those in our audio and video area, if you'll follow along with me, that would be great. So Matthew 6, verse 19, it says, "Do not lay up treasures upon earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up your treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness?" 24 says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." He goes on and says this, "For this reason," say "for this reason." Now, when he says "for this reason," he's talking about relating it to what he was just talking about, okay? "For this reason, I say to you, do not be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor for your body as to what you shall put on. Is not life more than food and the body than clothing? Look at the birds of the air that do not sow, neither do they reap," says, "nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth more, much more, than they? And which of you, being anxious, can add a single cubit to his lifespan? And why are you anxious about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow, and do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory did not clothe himself like one of these. But if God so arrays the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more do so for you? O men of little faith, O men of little faith, do not be anxious then, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, how shall we clothe ourselves? For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek, For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. Therefore, do not be anxious for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of his own. All of the teaching that Jesus did related to the kingdom of God in operation, in existence. Everything he shared, everything he taught was to help those whom he was speaking to understand how the kingdom operates. In this passage of scripture, what he's laying out for them is saying, I want to tell you now and show you how you are to live your life as believers. He says you're not to live it out of a place of being anxious. You're to live it out of a place of focus and recognizing, acknowledging that you are a part of my kingdom. And as part of my kingdom, everything is taken care of for you. Everything is taken care of for you. Everything is taken care of for you. What Jesus was doing here in a very kind of subtle way was bringing them back into introducing to them the principle or the dynamic of kingdom economics, later knowing that as a result of his death and his resurrection, that he would then set in place what you and I would benefit from, called salvation, that would bring us into the kingdom. And as we come into the kingdom, we come into the kingdom as priests and kings. Come on, say priests and kings. So I want you to recognize that in part what Jesus is doing here is he's helping them to understand that as priests and kings, there are things that are available to you because they're part of the covenant. Say the covenant. Now, Jesus is operating out of this place of understanding and revelation of how the kingdom works. And so the same principle that he's sharing where he says, don't you concern yourself with what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat. Your heavenly Father knows what you have need of, and he has already made provision for you. This principle, this practice is exactly what he established in the Old Testament that we now participate in the revelation of giving and sowing. So I read a couple of scriptures last week, and I want to pick up on a couple of them, share a couple more. And then I want to move on. You remember that I talked about last week in Malachi 3, verse 8 through 10. It's the passage of scripture that most will talk about when they talk about giving and they talk about tithing. But they really don't explain the principle of why God would say, you've robbed me. It's kind of a hard thing. How do you rob God? That's the question that's asked. You asked the question, how have you robbed me? He said, you've robbed me in your tithes and offerings. What he meant by that was he set in place when they came into the promised land that the Levites, the priests, they, because they ministered to him and took care of his presence, his place, steward his presence, he says, you will not receive inheritance like everyone else. It's in Numbers 18. It says this in verse, latter part of verse 20 and into 21. It says, then the Lord said to Aaron, you shall have no inheritance in the land, nor any portion among them. He says, I am your portion and your inheritance amongst the sons of Israel. To the sons of Levi, behold, this is what he says, I have given all the tithe in Israel for an inheritance in return for their service, which they perform the service of the tent of meeting. So what God set in place, now we're talking about the kingdom economics, how the kingdom operates. He says to the Levites, to the priests, he says, you will not receive like everybody else. He says, I am your portion. I will be your inheritance. Now, how many of you can get excited about God being your portion and God being your inheritance? God being your portion, God being your inheritance. Because how many of you know, if you got God, you got it all. It's kind of like this story that I've heard over and over, and I've heard it a few different ways, about this gentleman who lived on an estate and had this incredible art collection. And he had this incredible art collection with all these beautiful pictures and very, very expensive. And he was known for his collection. And he had a son that was drafted and went to war. It was the only son that he loved dearly, and his son went to war. When his son went to war, word came back that his son died on the battlefield. And he was distraught by it, and he just kind of recluse and stayed to himself. And then one day he got a knock on the door, and it was a guy at the door. He opened the door, and the gentleman said, I know you don't know me, but I was on the battlefield with your son. And we battled and we became best friends. He said, and after I got out of the war, I just kept thinking about him. He said, and I know you have a lot of paintings and things, but I'm not like those kind of artists, but I have this portrait of your son that I'd like you to have. And so the father took it, and he took it, and he thanked him, and he put it in his house, and he would look at it, and it looked like his son, and he just would remember his fond times with his son. And then the day came when this father died. And in his will was that this entire collection was going to be auctioned off. And so people came from all over the world because they knew there were some fine pieces, and they were ready with their wallets and their credit cards, and they came to be able to offer to get these masterpieces. And when the auctioneer came up to the podium, he said, our first piece is this right here. And it was the picture of his son. And all the people in the room began to look and think, who is that? Where did that come from? You know, and says, can I get? And he starts offering the first bid. Silence. Second bid, silence. Nobody's saying anything. And then one person in the back of the room raises her hand and says, I'll buy it. And when he said he would buy it, the auctioneer took the gavel, hit the desk, and said, auction closed, we're done. And everybody was in an uproar, and they were like, what do you mean? What about all this? He said, the instructions of the Father were simple. He that took the Son gets it all. The gentleman that bought the painting was the same guy that painted it. He knew the significance of it, but got it all. See, when you and I come into the kingdom, we get it all. We get it all. We get it all. You get health. You get wholeness. You get peace of mind. You get prosperity. You get increase. You get favor. You get it all. You get victory. You get it all. And what Jesus was saying is, don't be anxious like those, here it talks about the Gentiles. Don't be anxious like the unbelievers. Because when you came into the kingdom, when you accepted Christ, everything became available to you. There are principles, though, of how the kingdom operates. And this is what I'm sharing with you today. In Deuteronomy 14 and verse 22, again, I want to share this. It says, you shall surely tithe all the produce from what you sow, which comes out of the field every year. At the end of every third year, you shall bring out all the tithe of your produce in that year, and you shall deposit it in your town. Then it says this, the Levite, because he has no portion or inheritance among you. Now get that. I like how he says that. Because it's not that they don't have an inheritance. He's their portion. He's their inheritance. But he's saying among you, it's kind of like they don't have a portion or an inheritance like you, meaning some land. It goes on and says, and the alien and the orphan and the widow who are in your town shall come and eat and be satisfied. Come and eat and be satisfied. Come and eat and be satisfied. Now, how many of you know that when you talk about being satisfied, that means you've eaten all you want and there's probably some left? We would do well to eat till we're satisfied and not full. Y'all do know there's a difference. I just threw that in for. I didn't get no amens on that. Like, Okay, let me just keep moving right along then. Shall be satisfied. In order, listen to this, in order that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands which you do. Conditional. When you do this, God does this. Conditional. When you do this, God does this. It's the principle of Deuteronomy 28. The blessings, the curses. The Levite, because they have no portion or inheritance among you, the alien, the orphan, the widow, says, who are in your town shall come and eat and be satisfied in order that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hand which you do. Quite simply meaning, a different way of putting it, is God saying, when you do these, I will continue to bless you. Why? Because here's the principle of the tithe, and then I want to talk a little bit about first fruits for about the next 10, 15 minutes. See, the tithe was enacted for God to fulfill his covenant with all people. It was to fulfill his covenant of taking care of the Levites when he says, you're not going to receive an inheritance like everybody else. This is my instruction, that everyone else will tithe and get and other things that we'll talk about. And out of that, that will come to you. But your responsibility will be that you will tithe as well. So that's why in Nehemiah chapter 10, they reestablish the tithe. What they're reestablishing is the kingdom economic system. Is this making sense to you? Now, keep in mind, the kingdom has always been in existence. Always. It is eternal. Okay? The kingdom didn't come into existence when Jesus showed up. It was always in existence. He just brought it with him. So here we are, God, who is the king. He's in charge of everything. He is now saying to the people, this is how I will take care of you. And he says, I'm going to bless you so much that you tithe, and that will be such an immense amount that the Levites will live off of it, and the widows and the orphans and the aliens will be able to live off it as well and be satisfied. So what God is addressing in Malachi is they stopped living by that principle. And when they did, it not only impacted them, it impacted those who he made the covenant with. Because now the Levites are wondering, well, what's going on? And God is standing back and saying, it ain't me. Isn't it amazing how sometimes we blame God and he's saying, I'm not the one. I'm not the one. The condition you find yourself in may very well be based on decisions you have made. Can we thank God for mercy? Thank God for grace. Thank God for repentance. Thank God for restoration. Thank God for reconciliation. Thank God for recovery. Y'all better come on here. Don't act like ain't none of this, you know, well, that don't really mean a whole lot to me. No. We're going to go prophetic in a minute now and just get it all out. Nehemiah, once they begin to build the walls and establish, now he builds the economic system back into it. So it says this in Nehemiah 10, verse 37. It says, we will also bring the first of our dough, our contributions, the fruit of every tree, the new wine, and the oil to the priest at the chambers of the house of God, and the tithe of our ground to the Levites. For the Levites are they who receive the tithes in all the rural towns. Meaning, God is saying, I'm taking care of everybody. When you operate in my system, I'm going to make sure you're blessed because my blessings flow through my church. They flow through my people. Now, one of the things you have to understand about principles in the kingdom. See, there are people who operate out of the same principles. They just don't know what they're connected to. They don't know that this principle works anywhere. That's why you can have very, very, very wealthy people who are taking their resources and doing incredible things, but maybe not really be a believer. What is that about? It's about they've tapped into this kingdom economic system. And what we have to be willing to except is that God is not going to be stuck by his church. He will use whoever, whenever, for his purposes, his plan to be fulfilled. Does that make sense to you? But Nehemiah, they set this back in place. It says, the priest, the son of Aaron, shall be with the Levites when the Levites receive tithes, and the Levites shall bring up the tenth of the tithe to the house of God, to the chambers of the storehouse. See, God wants to move in our lives in such a way as we steward the resources that come to us that we end up with reserves. That we end up with reserves that we can draw on. And one of the ways it happens is out of the place of perpetual giving. Say perpetual giving. It's out of the place of the revelation and the heart that says, God, I want to be used by you. I want to be a blessing to those that I come in contact with. We're not just talking about giving in terms of tithes and offerings here in church, but God using you to be a blessing to others that you come in contact with. And I'm not talking about just the person that stands on the side of the road with the song that says, I'm hungry or need a job or work for food, and then you give them a few dollars and roll your window back up and pull off. That's not what I'm talking about. Now, that's not a bad thing, but I'm talking about being in a place where God can speak to you and let you know that he's going to use you to be the answer to someone else who's in need, and you have the resources to do it. How many of you would say, God, that's the place I desire to be in? That's the place I'm pressing into? That's the place I will be in? Come on, work with me on this, okay? In order for that to happen, we have to be willing to live by these principles. So as we're talking about this, we've got to believe God's word when it says, don't you get anxious or concern yourself about the daily things. I've got those taken care of. Press into the place of abundance that allows you to be able to be used by me to be a blessing to others. There is this tithe that God honors. As a result of the tithe and our willingness, now listen, our willingness to build in that discipline in our lives, that if what we receive, a tenth of that goes to God, no matter what. Say no matter what. Say no matter what. Now listen to me. I, like anybody else under the sound of my voice, maybe with the exception of one or two people, I know seasons of challenge financially where it's hard to tithe, and you just say, God, I love you, and I'm gonna work it out, but right now I ain't got it. Come on, come on, come on. And I remember that during those times, it got leaner. Why? It's not because God got mad and said, I'm shutting your stuff down. It's because it's through our operating in the kingdom principles, kingdom economic principles, that causes increase to always be there. Is this making sense to you? So we've talked about, and we continue to talk about, four areas of giving: tithe, first fruits, seed, and alms. Our alms are when we give in benevolence. Let me talk for a few moments now about first fruits. First fruits, the motivation for first fruits is generosity. Say generosity. We just want to be generous. And God wants us to be generous. The word says God loves a cheerful giver. I believe a cheerful giver is a generous giver. Proverbs 3 verse 9 says this: honor the Lord with your wealth, and from the first of all your produce or increase, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Romans 11 verse 16 says, for if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, all the branches, so are the branches. First fruits, they are offerings of the produce of the land, being the first and the best of the crops, given to acknowledge in acknowledgement of God's abundant blessing. The term is also used metaphorically to indicate the first of a much larger group that is to follow, such as those who will be raised from the dead. You see, first fruits show gratitude and appreciation for the blessings God has given us. First fruits offering is an expression of love, and it's only done once. So let me explain this. First fruits comes out of the increase that God brings into your life. So it's as simple as you are working a job and you get a raise on that job. You get a raise. And whatever that raise is, you sow that as first fruits. Does that make sense to you? Meaning that God, I know you blessed me with this. I'm sowing it back to you as you would have me sow it, because I know there's more to come. First fruits. First denotes a second. First denotes a second. That's why we don't do first lady. First denotes a second. So in the principle of first fruits, and let me read just a little more here. Deuteronomy 26, verse 1, it says, then it shall be when you enter into the land which the Lord your God gives you as an inheritance, and you possess it and live in it, you shall take some of the first of all the produce of the ground which you bring in from your land that the Lord your God gives you, You shall put it in a basket and go to the place where the Lord your God chooses to establish his name. What that means is that first fruit, God will tell you what to do with that. Some people have prayed and believed God for a new job, and they got a new job, and that first paycheck is first fruits. Now, that's really a place of faith, that you're going to give your whole check. But I've seen some folk do that. We've had some folk in here do that. That first check that come, they just say, I'm just going to sow this. I had somebody bring me one day. Pastor, I'm just going to sow this. Wow, really? Yeah, you're good ground. It's the principle. What is it saying to God? What is it saying to God? Most of us, many of us, unfortunately, we live out of a place of such need that we can't even think about Phantom doing something like that. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, come on, let's be honest. How many of you? Josh, what's your wife's name? Jocelyn. Jocelyn. Yeah, she just immediately like, yeah, that's just way out there. And yet, hear me now, I'm talking about principle, biblical principles, that tells God, I trust you, you are my source, you are my portion. You see, the more we are willing to live in the principles of the kingdom economics, the more we see return to us. The more we see, and we move to a place of what I like to call perpetual harvest. Perpetual harvest. Perpetual harvest. Perpetual harvest. Just simply meaning that you have so much coming in, which is what it says in Malachi. Test me, prove me, and see if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessings that you will not have room enough to receive. Meaning that I will bless you, and as you allow me to work through you to bless others, I will continue to bring increase into your life. Not just through the tithing, but through the principle of first fruits, through the principle of sowing seed, through the principle of alms, giving to those that are in need, knowing that it's going to someone in need, or when we give in our benevolence, and going back to the scripture that we quoted, that he that gives to the poor lends to God. We're setting aside resources to be able to take care of those in need, whether they be in the body or outside of the body. Now, let me change that. Whether in our fellowship or outside of our fellowship, or whether in the body or outside of the body. And not too long ago, we had that opportunity where it came to us that there was a need in the fellowship that we share the building with. And they didn't have the resources to meet the need, but we did. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. And we're one body. We're one church. We're one body. We're one church. And so when I heard about the need and that the need could not be met, it touched something in my heart. And I called our son, I called David, who works in our account. I said, David, what do we have in benevolence? I reached out to George. I said, hey, we've got enough. Can we do this? We got to do this. Because there was someone in need of having the deposit paid for their utilities to be able to have a place to be in by Christmas. With their kids, single mom. Yes, sir. Amen. I don't know her, ain't seen her, doesn't matter. What I'm talking about is the principle. Because we have the resources there. And now she's in her own place and she's doing well. We paid the deposit for her, that's it. God gets the glory. God gets the glory. God gets the glory. Yeah. Nehemiah 12:44. Let me read this and then we're going to close out. Nehemiah 12:44. It says, on that day, men were also appointed over the chambers for the stores, the contributions, the first fruits, and the tithes to gather them from the fields of the cities the portions required by the law for the priests and the Levites. For Judah rejoiced over the priests and the Levites who served. Gathered together, the portions gathered together by the law for the priests and the Levites. Take out the word law and just put in the word covenant. Take out the word law, because see, a lot of times that's where people get stuck. Well, tithing's under the law, and we're under grace. No, tithing is a kingdom economic principle. And what God is doing is honoring his covenant. God is honoring his covenant. God is honoring his covenant. Do you not know that you and I sit here today because we are the manifestation, the recipient of, the harvest of a first fruit being sown? Do you understand that? Y'all like, what is that? What is that? It's in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 20, it says this: "But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by man came death, by man also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all died," listen now, "so also in Christ all will be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, after that those who are Christ at his coming." I'm talking about the principle now of first fruits. See, God didn't just talk about it, enact it relative to produce and things like that. He did it when he gave his son, the firstborn of many brethren. You and I are the harvest of that first fruit. Amen. We're going to prepare to worship in our giving now. And we're going to do it the way that we've started doing it now, so that we're able to give intentionally. Are y'all waiting for a song? I need you to go to D-flat. D-flat. Man, it's quiet in here. Like, is this, it's like quiet, like you're kind of meditating on what I was saying. Is that what it is, Dexter? I'm just trying to get a feel for the room. Help me out here. Is that what it is? Okay. All right, okay, that's good. Yeah. God says, if you will live by my principles, he says, I will rebuke the devourer. I believe this word is being brought to our house, but it's being brought to other houses as well. That as we move out in this year, for many, this will be the turning point.
Hallelujah.
That sets you on course to receive the abundance that God wants to bring to you and through you.
Thank you, Lord.
To you and through you.
Thank you, Father.
To you and through you. To you and through you. To you and through you. How many of you want to be a generous giver? That's good. Put your hands down. How many of you feel like, I'm already a generous giver? I just ain't got the money. Don't. No. Some of you already are. You know what I'm talking about. I love to give. I love to give to people that serve when I'm in a restaurant and I go to places. I love to give really nice tips to them that causes them to say, "Are you sure?" You know, that's a real good tip when they ask you, "Are you sure?" Say, "Yeah, I'm sure." Because what am I doing? I'm sowing. See, I'm not tipping based on the meal. I'm not necessarily tipping based on the service. I'm tipping because I want to sow, because I'm sowing as unto the Lord. And then take the opportunity to be able to say something about Christ to the person that's serving. Sometimes we're in those places and it's senior people. A lot of times I'm going to Bob Evans, and I've been in Bob Evans where there's people that have been there like 30 years serving. And I ask them what they did before that, and they'll tell me that something happened in their world and this is where they ended up. I said, "God, I want to bless them." And God continues to bring the resources back. God wants to bless you beyond your 9 to 5, whatever job you work, whatever your shift is. He wants to bless you beyond that. Say beyond that.
Beyond that.
So don't get stuck on what you're making right now. He's saying, "I'm your source, not that job. And I will bless you if I got to work around that job in order to bring to you that which I purpose to bring to you as you honor my principles of kingdom economics." One of the things that we've been talking about, and my son came to me week after last, and he said, "Dad, you know, this is great." He said, "But we got to talk about the practical side as well of helping people who to know that. Look, we have people in our body who can help you with your budget, who can help you with financial planning, get you headed in the right direction. Because it's good to have the biblical application of it, but you need the practical application as well."
Amen.
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 And so if that's something that you're saying, "God, I could use some help in that area, and I want help in that area." Let me just say, by a show of hands, how many of you say, if we did a class or made available some resources, whether it's financial peace or something, to be able to help, how many of you would say, I would participate in that? Now, I need to raise your hand high, because some of y'all, see, okay, very good. Thank you. You can put your hand down. Because hear me when I say to you, hear me. This teaching is needed right about now.
Amen.
It's needed. So don't get intimidated. Don't feel ashamed. Don't be embarrassed. Recognize that God is saying, "I want to get you ready for what I am releasing."